Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington. It's British Champions Day, and joining me to talk about this superb fixture are Paul Keighley, David Jennings, and Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly. So the Super 6 races at Ascot will take centre stage today, but we will also look at all the other action taking place. We've got the Welsh Champion Hurdle, and if you miss your jumpers, the sight of the likes of the new one and Chitabello back on the race cards is bound to bring a warmth to your heart. There's also lots of good racing on Sunday, including the Durham National. The lads have been busy sussing away. We will have the best bets. We will basically put you in the mood and hopefully in the picture for all the key races taking place at the weekend. So grab a pen and paper and get scribbling. We will start with the first of the Champions Day races. It takes place at 1:25. It is easily the most disappointing. There are only two British horses entered in this Group 1 over 2 miles, and that's a poor show. Only six runners in all, three from Aidan O'Brien's yard. Stradivarius, the hot favourite, bidding to spark a memorable day for John Gosden and Frankie Dettori. What's the latest betting, Niall?
So Stradivarius is our 10-11 favourite. Flag of Honour is 15-8. Thomas Hobson, 9-1. Cerreric is 10-1, Cypress Creek 33-1, and Desert Skyline 40-1.
DJ, I promise to be upbeat and positive for the rest of this transmission, but what a poxy start to Champions Day.
Yeah, I suppose Stradivarius is saving this race, really, because he's the champions there and he's likely to win. When you take him out of the equation, I suppose you've got an Irish A Ledger winner and Flag of Honour, but like the rest from the likes of Desert Skyline, Cypress Creek, even Cerreric, who was quite impressive last Saturday, they're not good enough to be running races like this. The interesting horse, I think, for me, because he's had such a light campaign, and for me, it's a team of the day. I like to have horses that haven't been over-raced all season trying to run here. And I think Thomas Hobson is interesting. They've resisted the temptation to go to Melbourne again. He's had a very light campaign. He's only had three runs this season. He's not good enough to beat Stradivarius. But I think with the ground the way it's likely to be, I don't think that will suit Flag of Honour. I think he'll hate it. I just think Thomas Hobson's coming into this fresh. They said after he won in Doncaster, this was the aim rather than Melbourne. And I think the play here could be Thomas Hobson without, given how he's likely to handle condition.
Okay. Kills, what are you expecting ground-wise? Drying, gluey, soft ground?
Earlier in the week, the going stick was pretty much the same as it was last year, and it was pretty soft and sticky then, wasn't it? If we get heavy dews this time, it ain't going to dry out that much. So, yeah, it's going to be testing. Now, we have all this talk about Stradivarius not liking soft ground, but, you know, on Racing Post ratings last year, he was only £4 off his very best as a three-year-old when he finished third in this race last year. There isn't an Order of St George or a Torcedor in against him this year. I think he'll probably win. He did make a bit of a meal out of winning the Lonsdale Cup. I mean, the runner-up was rated 105 at the time, and he was only giving him £3. And, you know, whether it's just because he's had a hard time, but he's had eight weeks off. The handicapper thought that was a reasonable run from Count Octo because he put him up £10 for it, and I'm not so sure about that myself. But you know, if he's back to his best, he's going to be very hard to beat. I don't like Flag of Honour. I don't think he's actually separated himself from the rest of the field, let alone got that close to Stradivarius on what he's done. And if he doesn't like the ground, he won't be in the frame. I would back Cerreric to follow him home, and he is. Yeah, you know, he's obviously very, very lightly raced, and he's only won a listed race last week was it Limerick, Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was at Limerick. And, you know, but he did it really, really well, and he's bred to stay. That was only a mile and a half on every ground, but he's bred to stay. And I think he might be the one to follow him home.
Okay, so the lads both think that there is value in the without Stradivarius market or on the forecast, and it isn't Flag of Honour. Would you agree with that, Niall, or can you put in a positive word for Flag of Honour?
No, I'm just going to agree with Keels here. The one I'm going to take a chance on is Cerreric too. He bolted up at Limerick last week, beating the 107 rate at the King with Twilight Payment, whose form ties in with Flag of Honour, further neck behind. He seemed to relish the heavy ground that day, which kind of brings him even more into this. And it's obviously a small boost that Donegal rides it over Cypress Creek, so he's definitely more fancy than him, obviously. Flag of Honour was impressive last time. We got a very easy lead. They went pretty slow. I'm not even sure he was as good as he looked visually. Stradivarius, if he's in top form, he'd be very difficult to beat, though. Just in soft ground after a long season, I wouldn't be taking a short price about him. So it's Cerreric for me.
Cerreric, each way with six runners?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, each fine. But I don't think any of the lads are going to be having their biggest bet of Champions Day on that race. They might do on the 2 o'clock. It's the Kipco British Champion Sprint Stakes, a much bigger field. Very, very interesting race, this one. The Tin Man, the good old Tin Man, heads the market. What's the latest betting from Paddy Power, Niall?
So the Tin Man is our 3-1 favourite. Labrisa Breeze is 9-2. Harry Angel 6-1. Brando 7-1. Tazleet 7-1. And 14-1 Bar.
Really fascinating contest, this. Kills, do you have a strong view?
I would say I have a strong view. It's fascinating in the fact that the two horses who have the most in hand over their rivals on their best form are much bigger prices than Stradivarius, Cracksman and Larty Dar. And one of those is Harry Angel. Now, I don't actually fancy him for this at all, but I mean, on his best form, he wins it, doesn't he? I mean, he's rated 123. The next best is 117. But since, you know, he just went missing at Haydock. I don't know, you know, that just wasn't expected, was it? We always expect, you know, there might be a bit of trouble at Ascot where he got his hind leg stuck in the stalls this time before, but Haydock was terrible. So you can understand why he's a big price. The Tin Man is a worthy favourite. It is 3 years since he won back-to-back races. And, you know, every single Group 1 sprint in Britain, Ireland and France has been won by a different horse this season. It just shows you how wide open this is. And I've landed on two. And then Brando is nearly three times the price of the Tin Man. And, you know, he was only beaten half a length to him in the Sprint Cup at Haydock. And, I just think he's just a big price for what he's done. He's been second in two of his last three Group 1 runs, has been third in this race before. He was racing away from the action then, when third to the Tin Man, only beaten a length then. I think he'll run well. And I've taken a chance on a much bigger price one, Sands and Marley, trained by Richard Farr. He really thought the world of him early in the season. Finished second in the Commonwealth Cup. On the stand side, all the action came up there and at the far side to the middle. I think he might have won that if he was over with those. Again, another one who went missing on fast ground later in the season. But that fifth in the Sprint Cup was a lot better. And I think he's still got something to give.
You're at Ascot tomorrow, Kills, aren't you?
I'm still toying with it. I'm not 100% certain.
Okay. Well, wherever you are, you'll be keeping an eye on the market. And you'll be keeping an eye on Harry Angel's price like we all will. At what point does he get to a price where you say, do you know what, sort of, I'm going to have to back him, because if he wins at this price, I'm just going to kick myself.
He's not far off there, is he? Yeah. Because he is better than these. But, you know, I just expect something to go wrong. And it's just, you know, if that Haydock run hadn't happened, I'd have taken a chance on him. But, I mean, that Haydock is just hard to explain away.
Yeah. Okay, Niall, what's your reading of the sprint?
Just that we're paying four places here.
Oh, good.
The one I quite like, and it's more in, like, you could make a case for so many of these. The one I'm going to go for is the one who I think is most value in relation to my own price, and that's Tazleet. He got badly hampered at Haydock last time when in the process of running really well after break, and I think he's much better than the bare result there. He'll love the ground, and he was an excellent second to Labrisa Breeze in this last year. He looks primed, as I said, after having a break before Haydock, and he also gets first time blinkers, which his trainer does quite well when he actually applies them. I was really tempted to put up Harry Angel as well. I just can't bring myself to do it. So I'm going with the safer option of Tazleet.
Okay, and DJ?
I can bring myself to do it. If all these horses were the same price, you'd be saying the Tin Man is far more solid than Harry Angel. We know that Harry Angel is a risky proposition, but they're not. He's twice the price of a horse who is rated £6 inferior to him. He is a point and a half bigger than a horse who's rated £10 inferior of him. Sometimes the price is worth taking the risk. And I think that is the case with Harry Angel. You go through his Ascot form. We've always said all along that he doesn't like Ascot. But when you actually go through his form in the context of this race, finishing second to Blue Point, finishing second to Caravaggio in the Commonwealth Cup, they're two solid pieces of form. Last year in this race, again, it could happen again, but he was far too keen, went too quick and paid the price in the last half furlong. He traded very short and running that day. I think going into Haydock, they were petrified after what happened at Ascot. And I think everything before Haydock was geared towards the stalls, getting that horse right in a mentally stable condition for the stalls. And I think that might have intercepted with his training for the actual race itself. Now, this is a pure guess. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think since Haydock, I think they've probably decided this is the only race left for him. And it's his last run of the season. He has been lightly raced again, a bit like Thomas Hobson this season. And I just think it's 6-1. Holy God. Imagine if you were told in May, June or July that Harry Angel was 6-1 for this race and the Tin Man was 3-1. You wouldn't believe anybody. So I think at the price, You've got to take a chance. So what if he's beaten? You're getting 6-1, about by far the best horse in the race.
I'm with you, DJ, and I think if he does come out and win, I think everyone's going to absolutely kick themselves, aren't they, if they haven't backed him. So we shall see. Kills, just one, you know, we're just talking about some of the horses at the head of the market. There was one that you weren't mad on, wasn't there, in Le Bris of Breeze, and I think DJ touched upon that.
Well, you know, Le Bris of Breeze won the race last year, but he's half the price this year, and on form this year, he's half the horse. Like, you know, I mean, the problem is he does love Ascot. He's got some cracking form there, big handicaps, and in soft ground. He could bounce back. But I think it's just a case of bookmakers, you know, running scared of Tony Bloom and putting him in a short price. I mean, you know, to me, he can only go one way in the betting tomorrow. And he's just got to be a much bigger price than he starts, unless there is a massive plunge on him. But I just can't see it on this year's form at all.
OK, 240 is the Kipco British Champion Fillies and Mares Stakes. And again, it's all about Monsieur Gosden and Dettori as well. La-ti-da, the fav. What's the latest betting now, Niall?
This is our MBS race, so money back all losers if La-ti-da does win. She's our 11-10 favourite. Kite Surf is 5-1. Coronet 11-2. Magical 15-2. Hydrangea 9-1. Pilaster 10-1 and 20-1 bar.
Okay, DJ, take it away. What happens here?
Very simple. I think La-ti-da wins. It's interesting that special with Powers, but I think they will be given money back here. I just thought the run in the ledger was incredible. She was keen. Not a lot went right. She didn't get much cover. And through the first half of the race, I didn't think Frankie was happy at all. And to have the natural ability to finish as close as she did and to be so far clear of the third, who I think is a good horse in Southern France, was a hell of a run. I think she's by far the best filly in the race. And I think odds against is a bit of value.
Kills.
I think she's perfectly solid, but I personally think she's a bit too short, given the depth of the field. This is a pretty decent field. She's got an official rating of 115. There are four horses within £4 of her. You know, Kite Surf won a Prix Vermeil. You know, and been saved for this. Didn't go to the Arc. Been saved for this. Coronet is obviously very decent at her best, likes this, you know, runs this track reasonably well. A stiff test of stamina is going to suit her without a doubt. And then you've got a couple from Aidan O'Brien's. Magical on her first run at a mile and a half was staying on really strongly in the Arc, wasn't beating a million miles. And last year's winner, Hydrangea, is the one I've landed on. Now, earlier in the season, I could not understand why she was a short price favourite to win at Royal Ascot on fast ground, because she never had a single line of fast ground form that said you could win that under a penalty. But on soft ground, she's a different horse altogether. And she thrashed Batil, who is a proper Group 1 mud lover, last year. She won by 2 lengths. That is actually the best form in the race. And if she can return to that, but she needs to, because she has been terrible since a reasonable debut. She's been terrible in 2 runs since. But
concerned that Ryan
the ground is over. No, I don't care. I'm in my honour for Donnacker. O'Brien is ace, and just getting better all the time. And you know, O'Brien's second and third strings win, you know, now and again, don't they? So don't worry about it.
Niall, what's your view?
I find this tricky. She's obviously well clear and deservedly so in the betting. I'm actually going to go for the value option here in Pilaster. Now, she was beaten last time. That was in a mess of a race at Doncaster where she was held up off a slow pace. She actually did well to get as close as she did, recording the fastest closing section on the whole card at the end of a mile 6. So I think the drop and trip here could suit her. I think the ground will suit her as well. And she's David Egan back up, who's 3 from 3 on her. She definitely has plenty to find at La-ti-da, though she's a big enough price to take a chance. And at 12-1, I think she'll at least sneak a place.
Okay, the 3:15 is the QE2, and again, we've got favourites from the Gosden Yard, and it is Roaring Lion, who Gosden has decided to run here rather than the Champion Stakes. What's the latest betting, Niall?
So we're an extra place in this race as well, and Roaring Lion is our 2-1 favourite. Lord Glitters is 6-1, Recollect is 6-1, Lawrence is 6-1, Adabe 8-1, Lightning Spear 12-1, Happily 12-1, and 16-1 bar.
David Jennings, have you got this one sussed?
Yeah, I think Roaring Lion is a good thing. I know it's obviously not ideal running this race, but I think class will see him through. Like, even just go through ratings, and he's vastly superior to Lawrence, the Lower Glitters. The one who's probably a little bit overpriced, so I'd be tempted to have a little nibble each way, is Beat the Bank, who I think could sneak a place. But like, he's not in the same league as Roaring Lion. And if the same Roaring Lion that turned up at York turns up here, I don't think it would have mattered what trip it was at York. He got to the front with that turn of foot kind of early in the home straight and stayed there. it's really boring, but I just think he's the best horse in the race, and I think Gosden will probably win the two group ones.
Why are you apologising this week for being really boring?
Because I don't like tipping favourites.
Okay, Keels.
You didn't get that, DJ, no. Did you?
I chose to ignore it.
It's fascinating. I mean, as I said, Roaring Lion is officially £6 better than Recoletos and £7 better than Plus the Rest, £10 better than A Day and Beat the Bank. You know, if it was fast ground, it'd be odds on. But, you know, he's 9-4 for a reason. And that's because it's soft ground. And he's dropping back to a mile. Now, I've got no worries about the mile whatsoever. The way he finishes his race and running really fast, final furlongs and that, is just, you know, he can drop down to a mile easy. Right? But he's running on very soft ground, which he's been kept away from. And he's also drawn out on the wing as well, with loads of hold-up horses on his inside, which might not suit. He might end up being on the wrong side. And it's a test of his constitution more than the trip for me, because
you've learned about knee actions now as well. What's his knee action like? Is that any good?
No, I couldn't even tell you. But he handles fast ground really well, as we know. Now, you know, he's run 7 times this year. He's run in 2 classic trials, 2 classics, and then 3 Group Ones. So he's had a lot of racing. That race at Leopardstown where Saxon Warrior stole a march on him, and he did brilliantly to win from there. Like, you know, but he must have had a hard race in it, and you know, at some point it catches up with him. So I take him on. There's 4 places available. They're not massive prices, but I will be backing both Lord Glitters and Adabe each way. Lord Glitters just loves this place. He's been in the first 2 or 4 times. He's won the Balmoral easily last year. Got the jockey out of trouble, and he's improved this season. His best form now is on fast ground, but I mean, he's definitely a soft ground horse. So back on soft ground here in a big field, I think everything's set up for him to run really well. And same for Adabe, who hasn't run since flopping in the Lock Inge. But if you remember how easily he won the Lincoln from Lord Glitters, he was getting £8 that day, but he then came out, won a Group 2 on softish ground at Sandown very easily. He's been ready to run for ages, but Haggis just will not risk him on soft ground again. He thinks he's a Group 1 horse. He had him in the Champion Stakes as well. He's just going to run well. And with the 4 places, I'll be backing both each way.
Rightio, and Niall, what's your fancy?
I priced this race last night, and I actually made Roaring Lion a 6-4 shot, so I think he's definitely a bet here. I think there's 9-4 around. His form is just on a different level to these, in my opinion, the more I look at the race. The sections he's recorded over 10 suggest the drop to a mile is fine. I have no concern there. The ground is a small concern, though he's won a good to soft twice, and so there's not much to suggest that he won't handle the ground. I like Lord Glitters over the course, but he still has plenty to find at Roaring Lion, as I said. I've never been a fan of Recoletos, so I don't really fancy him. I like Lawrence, though, again, her form would seem a long way off Roaring Lion. Happily sort of the key horse here. She ran in the Eclipse, and she was well behind both Saxon Warrior and Roaring Lion that day. So yeah, I just think the form's so far off Roaring Lion. All things considered, yeah, he's a really confident bet for me.
Okay, let's talk Champion Stakes and Cracksman next.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Okay, so the highlight of the 8th running of British Champions Day takes place at 3:50. It's the Kitco Champions Stakes and Niall O'Reilly. I guess you've got Cracksman at a very hot favourite.
Yeah, he's our 5-6 favourite. Crystal Ocean is 11-4. Capri, 11-2. Monarch's Glen, 14-1. Verbal Dexterity, 16-1. Rhododendron 33-1, Maverick Ray Wave 100-1, and Subway Dancer 100-1.
Kills, what are you doing with Cracksman? Lumping on or taking him on?
I'm going to take him on. I'm not going to lay him, though. I mean, I think he's the most likely winner. I do think he looks a bit reluctant. I mean, and obviously, John Gosden has put blinkers on him for the first time. Now, interestingly, he worked without blinkers on his last piece of work, and then they decided to put him on. So he's obviously still a bit moody at home for them to decide to do that. It's very rare for horses to run in blinkers first time in, you know, group races and that. And in fact, in Group 2 and above, I had a look, and there have been 119 runners in Group 2 and above in Britain and Ireland, first time blinkers since 2006. 6-1.
Wow.
Like, you know, none of them will have been as short a price as Cracksman. No. Like, you know, and
the trouble is the memory of him absolutely pissing up
if he repeats that form, nothing gets near him. There's no doubt about it. The ground's similar. And look, he still ran to a high level, higher than most of these when he got beat by Poet's Word. Crystal Ocean, Does he want a mile and two? I mean, he just looks like a very strong stayer at a mile and a half to me. You know, he'll handle the ground okay and make it a test. But they're going to want to make it a test here, especially with Capri coming back to a mile and two as well. And I just think he's got a nice each way shape. If all eight go, I think Monarch Glen's a fantastic each way bet. The other Gozza, yeah, he absolutely bolted up in that Wolverton. He was given £5 to the field that day. Muntaha, who won the Ebor, was third. He had Mirage Dancer back in 50s, run really well in three group races since. It's a really solid piece of form, and he won easily. He's come back from a break and won in October. He did that last year. He's won in October for the last 2 years. And his best form's at the track. He actually owns the highest RPR this year outside the front two in the betting, and he's 14-1. I mean, some of these obviously have got no chance at all. I just think he's a great value each way bet.
Monarch Glen each way at 14s. Niall, who's your champion stakes fancy?
I think Crystal Ocean is definitely the bet here. I don't think he's entered the finder cracksman, yet he's obviously a much bigger price. He had an impossible task last time, yet still ran well enough behind Enable. The drop and trip could really suit, given how he travelled and kicked on the King George. He's proven on soft ground. So yeah, like I said, I don't really see many negatives. I know Frank really likes Capri, though I'd have the trip as a big negative for him. I just think he needs further, although he will handle the ground. Verbal Dexterity's won it back to Antipost at a slightly bigger price, and he's done nothing since I backed him, so I don't know how I'm on some value there. Though I could see him maybe sneaking third, given
I fancy Verbal
so well.
Dexterity, but I've been, yeah, I've fancied right, him yeah. ever since last year. I thought I backed him for the Derby and everything. He obviously had his problems, but I thought those two comeback runs this year on unsuitable ground were okay, weren't they?
It's still a long way off this, but yeah, I could definitely see him from an each way perspective. He'll definitely love this ground. He's obviously been waiting for it for a while, so yeah, not putting you off at all.
But the main bet is Crystal Ocean.
Yeah, it's Crystal Ocean for me.
David Jennings, I reckon you're going to tip Capri, am I right?
I think the key thing here is the ground. I think we all kind of love to hate Cracksman because he seems to be thinking about it, but I think genuinely, it just comes down to ground. I just think he's a far better horse on softer ground. And we've seen in the race last year how devastating he
was. Sorry? What was the excuse at Epsom then?
Well, that was his first run of the year, wasn't it?
No, he'd already won again, eh?
Yeah, I don't know. They said he doesn't like Epsom.
Yeah, that's garbage, that is.
Yeah. But I think ability-wise, natural ability, he's the best horse in the race. The problem is he's odds on. So it's one of them races where with Cracksman, I think you just have to leave him. And if he wins, you have to say, yeah, well, sure, look, he was the best horse in the race. Like you, Bruce, I'm kind of interested in Verbal Dexterity. I tried to find out all week if this horse was going to run, and it seemed to be him and Hawn, and obviously the ground is fine for him. So,
is he still not talking to us, Bolger?
I don't think so. No.
It's about 4 years now, isn't it? God, get over it, man. No. Come on, let's all be friends.
Hold a grudge.
Yeah. And I think he's one of these, again, like I said earlier on in the podcast, I just think he's so fresh. He's only had two runs, as you said, on unsuitable ground. He's just been crying out for soft ground all year. And I think he could sneak third. I don't think he'd win, but I think he could sneak third. Crystal Ocean, I think Cracksman will probably win. I think Crystal Ocean will probably be second. And I'm hoping Verbal Dexterity will be third.
Lovely. Thank you, chaps. Well, the card culminates with the Balmoral Handicap at 4.30. Tons of runners wide open. Latest betting, Niall.
So Raising Sand is our 4-1 favourite. Flaming Spear is 7-1. Kinran is 7-1. Argentello 8-1. Safe Voyage 9-1. Via Via 10-1 and 14-1 bar.
And it's your go-to-go first, Niall. Have you sussed this?
I think so. It's favourite now. I just think Raising Sand wins this. That was a massive performance last time. And the step back up to a mile could see him improve on it again, I think. Now, I backed him earlier in the week, and I prefer if Argentello wasn't running because I kind of see him as a big danger, but it's a quick enough turnaround at the same time. Raising Sand is literally everything in his favour, so I'm just finding it hard to see him beaten. All the fancied horses seem to be drawing high as well, which is also a positive. I just can't see anything else in the field as well treated as Raising Sand, so he's a confident selection.
Okay, well, Kills, we'll get to you in a minute, but I mean, if you remember last year's Champions Day, when we got there, we were like, what, is that the course? They cut it in half. Racing, it was about 20 feet wide, wasn't it, the course? Yeah. So hard to think there'll be a draw by us, but we'll get your selection in a moment after DJ has told us who he thinks will win.
Bruce, this is the most excited I've been about a horse in quite a while, and I get very excited. There's a horse in here at 16-1 that I think should be at least half that price.
I know, Charger Bridge.
Oh, Bruce, I can't wait. This is the race I am most looking forward to on Champions Day, which is hard to believe. How this horse is 16-1 and powers are standout, which is hard to believe. the simple fact of the matter is it did not stay in the Cesarewitch. Up that hill, Travel Like a Dream was on the wrong side. So you go through, and I've been waiting for this horse for this race, hoping he'd end up here and hoping that he wouldn't.
Certainly wouldn't stay in the Cesarewitch.
In the Cambridgeshire, sorry.
That's
the
right.
Cambridgeshire. So it's a mile one and a bit in Newmarket. And if you watch him, he's on the far side. Sylvester rode him that day. He's just trying to get him home, get him home, get him home. He was caught on the far side. He probably finished second on the far side. We go back to the run at York over a mile. He absolutely pulled Andrea Azzeni's hands out for the whole trip. He just needs a fast pace over a mile. And I went back into a soft ground form and I said to myself, right, I just have to find out if he's going to handle this ground. And I go, oh no, the only time he's run on soft ground, he's been beaten at 2-7 at Pontefract. And I said, that can't be good. You go in, the horse that beat him by a head was called Kingswell Dream, who's now with Darren Weir and favourite for the Caulfield Cup. So you kind of say to yourself, okay, he was beaten at 2-7, but he was beaten ahead by a horse who was finished second and third to Winx on its last two starts. So you kind of say, okay, well, he obviously does handle the ground. And this is, if ever I saw a group horse running a handicap, this is it. Now, things have to go right. The gaps have to open. But he's 16-1. He's definitely a group horse over a mile. This is his track. This is his trip. He'll handle the ground. I just can't wait until half four.
Oh, that was a very impassioned DJ special, that, I must say. Did it convince you, Kiehl's?
No.
All right, okay.
I've smashed my way out of trouble at this meeting.
This race has been epic down the years,
last
hasn't it?
2 years, oh. Yeah. And I'm hoping now. I'm hoping I'll do it again, because opposing all the favourites earlier on, I'm probably going to be in trouble. But yeah, look, when after raising Sam one like last time, I immediately backed him for this. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, hang on, this is a 6-year-old on a career high mark that has been beaten off higher mark, off lower marks in handicaps loads of times. You know, I mean, that Ascot race wasn't as good as this one. There are some better horses in here. I'd be worried about Argentello coming in. His form's worked out really, really well. But I just looked at Safe Voyages, two runs this season, two wins. Both, to my eyes, really, really impressive. To everyone's eyes, first time beat Get Knotted at Haydock. 7 furlongs, bad ground, won by 6 lengths going away. Went up £11 for that. Went over to Galway for a valuable handicap there. 7 furlongs again. Ground wasn't quite as soft. Took a while to get going, but got up and actually won quite cosily. It just looks like he's crying out. He's going to improve again for a mile. Went over a mile and half a furlong once last year, but on fast ground. And he's a proper soft ground horse, this is. And I just think he's going to be very, very hard to beat. He's improved dramatically. He's been kept back for this. After he won at Galway, John Quinn just said, you know, the Balmoral is the race we're aiming for. So that has been the plan. He obviously thinks, he's obviously got no worries about the extra trip. And conditions are perfect. I had a couple of quid each round South Seas as well, just because I watched him earlier in the season. He was a group horse as a 2-year-old. He ran well last time at Goodwood, giving £20 to the winner, finished second. But for me, it's all about Safe Voyage.
Okay, that was Ascot. Thank you, chaps. Let's see what else the boys fancy in Britain and Ireland on Saturday. Loads of great racing over flat and jumps. We will turn our attention to the Welsh Champion Hurdle. Takes place at Fosslass at 4:25, and Niall has a show of betting.
So Silver Streak is our 5-2 favourite. The new one is 11-4. Le Prezient 5-1. Mohead 11-2. Ozzy the Oscar 7-1. Chitabello 10-1. Sizing Granite 16. And Rock on Rocky is 33-1.
Our lives will be so different when we get to autumn and the new one isn't running anymore. So we'll enjoy him while he can. Can he win this, Kiehl's?
He can. I mean, I think he's just about favourite, isn't he? Yeah, so he can. But, I mean, is he getting a little bit on the slow side for 2 mile on good to soft ground? That would be what would worry me. And I think as long as the ground isn't that bad, he's giving a lot of weight to Silver Streak down the bottom, who is just shaped like a horse who's going to win a decent prize on decent ground. And I think he'll win.
You're going with the Jolly, are you?
He won very easy. He's not the Jolly, is he, Silver Streak?
Yes, he is.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right, he wasn't the Jolly when I looked at someone I was looking earlier on.
No, I just read out a show of betting.
Yeah, but I wasn't listening, was I? I was trying to search up horses at the same time.
Oh, sorry. All right.
Yeah, but yes, anyway, but I think he'll win, yeah.
You think he'll win. DJ, who do you fancy?
Yeah, I think he'll win too. There was a bit of fives out there with an alternative firm. I don't know if it's still there, but 5-2 looks about right. You go through his form and he's won after a 79-day break, he's won after a 61-day break, he's won after a 195-day break. And he's finished second after a 72-day break in the Ladbroke Hurdle. He seems to go well fresh. You know, the trainer obviously has targeted this race. That performance at Haydock in May was pretty good. That's a proper handicap. He's only carrying 10 stone 4. At this stage of his life, I don't think the new one would be able to give that horse so much weight. So, silver streak for me, and if you can get fives, well done.
And Niall, is the fact that you are so much shorter than your rivals indicative of the fact that you personally think he'll win?
Yeah, I've priced this. I can't see Silver Streak being beaten here. He still looks so well handicapped off 138. He's only racing off 10-3, as the lad said. And I'd be shocked if this wasn't his early season target, given that he needs decent ground and it being a Welsh stable. I had a fairly chunky bet on him yesterday, which I'm very confident about. The one I got wrong was I didn't think Mohead would run, and he looks a danger, actually. But he's essentially £10 higher than winning the county last time. Silver Streak has an excellent record fresh. He obviously bolted up in his reappearance last year, and I think he'll do the same tomorrow.
Oh, the lads are all very confident there. Right then, Kills, don't give your nap away, but tell us what else we should be backing on Saturday.
Yeah, just a few of interest. One on the flat of Catrick. They've got quite a valuable sprint there, and Bosun Fred just had a pipe open originally. I wouldn't be surprised if he's been laid out for his best form. He's more known, better known as an all-weather horse, but he's got some really decent form on soft ground on the flat as well.
That's the 330.
That's the 330 at Catrick. And two at Market Raising, 250 Dently Demi, trained by Nick Williams. He ran well in some really good and competitive handicap hurdles last year on soft ground, but his two wins have come on decent ground, so I think he'll go well. They've talked him up really well in the past, and I think he might start to deliver this year. And another horse that goes really well fresh for Paul Nicholls, Remain de Senam, in the 4 o'clock. He has had a wind up. He's back to his last winning mark. He won his first two starts last season, the first one very, very easily. I think he has to go close.
Okay. DJ, is this a 5 furlong roundup or a 3 mile?
3 furlongs.
Oh, okay, great. What you got?
I like Dakota Gold again in the 330 at Catterick. It's got top weight, but it's drawn and stalled one. I think there's a bit of 92 about it. I thought that would win. In Leopardstown, this really interesting card at Leopardstown. Unfortunately, our horse that we've been looking forward to all year is still not running. Amadeo Modigliani was injured, but is not running. So in the 340, the list of Trigo Stakes, I thought Riven Light was the best horse in the race, and I thought it'd probably win easily enough. And in the race before that, the 305, No Needs Never beat Old Glory last time at Dundalk. But I just wouldn't be surprised if that form was turned around. Old Glory is still a bit of a work in progress. 7 furlongs might be a bit sharp, but I just think racing will bring Old Glory on, so I'd be willing to give him another chance. And in the 415, that's the tote handicap. An interesting runner here, if it does get a little bit softer, Top Notch Tonto makes its debut for Jarlath Fahy, who's done so well with Dreamwalker since he switched over. Top Notch Tonto, obviously, it's been crying out for cutting the ground, and I think it ran actually in the QE2 last year, or maybe the year before. It's rated 92 now. Dennis Linehan has taken off weight. First run for Jarlath Fahy. If the money arrived for Top Notch Tonto, could be very, very interesting in the 4:15.
Okay, I was very disappointed to see Old Glory get beat up at Dundalk because I thought he looked absolutely superb on his debut. But you still wouldn't lose hope, though, DJ?
No, I think Raisin will bring him on, I think.
I think he took a long time to pull up at the end of those 3 furlongs, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah. That was a long 3 furlong. I thought you were going to say he didn't fancy anything. No, that was more of a mile and a quarter. Niall, how many have you got for us?
I have 3, including one in the Caulfield Cup, if that's okay.
Yeah, I have one in the Caulfield Cup as well.
No, we don't care what you think. Go on,
Noel. I'll start at the 6:15 Wolverhampton. I'm really interested in a horse called Taranga Leela. It's trained by Ian Williams. Now, I'm convinced they've been lining this one up for a touch, as it's dropped from a mark in the 80s down to 57. Now, he was very eye-catching off a tender ride last time, and with Stevie Donoghue booked from stall 2, I think tomorrow will be the day she blasts out and doesn't see another rival. And I'm hoping for a decent price, but yeah, we'll see. 3:05, I actually really like No Needs Never. Now, I backed him in that Doncaster sales race where I thought he should have won. Then it pained me to see him bolt up at Dundalk while I wasn't on. But yeah, I think you'll follow that up here if the ground dries out enough.
Okay, Caulfield Cup, 6:40 a.m. Who'd you like?
The one I'm interested in here is Red Verdon, mainly because of the price. He's 16-1, which looks big in comparison to Cliffs of Moher, given he finished in front of him in the Hardwick. And he gets £6 off him here because it's a handicap. He's actually been very consistent this year over a mile and a half, with his only disappointing runs coming over 2 mile. His trainer obviously did well with Red Cadeau a few years ago, and Red Verdon is a very similar type. I definitely think that 16-1 is working each way a bet. He's drawn 9 as well, which is a decent draw.
Okay, I lied, DJ. I do want to know your fence in the Caulfield Cup.
Well, anybody that bought the Racing Post on Thursday will know that I put up the Clips of Moher at 6-1, a 3 points win. I love the way they backed him up back to back, ran in the Caulfield Stakes last week. Loved the way it stayed on down the outside behind Ben Battle. And it ran twice at Royal Ascot, and its best run was the second run. So it obviously takes its racing quite well. I think he potentially could be in a different league to these.
Well, if you saw what Aidan did with Yucatan last week, I mean, it's incredible, wasn't it, that?
Absolutely.
Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Paul Keighley.
We're going to annoy the hell out of punters by all napping in the same race, because I'm going for Safe Voyage in the 4:30 at Ascot.
Okay, DJ?
Oh, Sharjah Bridge, 4:30 Ascot.
And Niall O'Reilly.
4:25 post last Silver Streak.
Well done, mate. Well done. Excellent. That's all right. That's fine. Boys can have a forecast. Sunday next.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Paul Keighley, David Jennings and Paddy Powers. Niall O'Reilly looking ahead to four decent cards on Sunday. Two in Ireland, two in England. We will start over in Ireland at Naas, where they've got some listed action. And David Jennings, who do you fancy on the Naas card?
I really like in the 2:35 Chicago May, trained by Gerry Lyons, ridden by Colin Keane. Used to be with Henry de Bromhead. Won on its debut at Naas, over seven. And then it ran in a listed race at Tipperary and was a bit disappointing. But it came back and finished second to Never No More over what I thought was an inadequate five. It was opening mark, or her opening mark of 82 seems to be based primarily on the second run. So she's had two really good runs out of three, and her handicap mark seems to be based on her bad second run. So I think off a mark of 82, she's going to be really hard to beat in that Birdcatcher at 2:35.
And that's your only fancy at Naas, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, you've got a couple for us at Naas, I believe, Niall?
Yeah, I do. In that 3:10, Kestrel Prince is the one for me here. He was third behind Iridesa 2 runs ago with the Champagne Six, third Cardini just in front of him. And that form looks very strong in the context of this. I think he'll win that. The 3:45, Making Light should probably win this. Ground went against her last time at Leopardstown, and it's easier here. But the one I actually like might be a big price. It's Snowflakes. Now, she's a lot to find, but she's a very good two-year-old, and I think she just looks one that will continue to improve. So if she's a good each-way price, I'll definitely back her. In the 5:20, I'm going to take a chance on a horse called Dramatically. Again, if she's a decent price. Now, she's had a poor season, though. She caught my eye last time over 7 furlongs, which looked too short for her. She's up to 1.5 miles here, and I think she could go well. And yeah, that's it at Naas.
Okay, let's go over to Cork then. DJ, what are the good things there?
In the 2:20 at Cork, Optical Confusion was beaten last time. How it was beaten, I will never know. I'd say it traded 101 and running. Real confident ride from David Mullins. Got nabbed right on the line. I thought that would win the 2:20. That is the 3-mile novice hurdle. Then later on in the card, I thought Gordon would have a pretty good day. In the 4 o'clock, Sunsets to Rise. It's still only off 1-2-4 over fences and looks to have been laid out for the race. Goes well fresh. So Sunsets to Rise in the 4 o'clock. And one more in the 4:35, the rated novice chase. Prince Gary Antle might get loose on the front under Andrew Lynch, a front runner who could be hard to peg back. Rated 123. The conditions of the race suit it because it's getting weight from Judgment Day, who's rated the same. So Prince Gary Antle in the 4:35.
Niall, have you managed to uncover anything at Cork?
No, I haven't had a look at Cork.
You're going to leave Cork. Okay, let's move to the English two cards then. Kempton, always nice to get a decent jumps card up and running at Kempton. There'll be some decent horses running here for sure. Some of the winners will definitely be worth following, sticking in your Racing Post tracker. Who might those winners include, Kills?
Yeah, I've got a couple at Kempton. Probably only short prices, Nicky Henderson trained. First one, 3:40, Casablanca Mix. Hasn't been seen since taking a heavy fall at Exeter last season, but the time before that absolutely thrashed a horse called Theatre Territory, who afterwards ran really well, placed in some really big handicaps, the old Racing Post chase to Topham, and a race behind Master Whitaker at Cheltenham on Trials Day, I think it was. And he was given, he just absolutely thrashed it, and he's only rated 138, and Theatre Territory is now rated 132. He'll win if getting round. Verdana Blue in the listed hurdle 4:10. She can't handle soft ground. She sort of lost her form a bit last year, but she's very, very, she's very, very decent at her best. And she had a pipe opener on the flat at Chelmsford recently in a novice race that wasn't badly contested. She was 6-1. She won it pretty easily. I think she'll win as well.
Niall, I believe you've got one for us at Kempton as well, haven't you?
I'm just going to echo what Paul said there for Dana Blue. I think she'd be very difficult to beat here. She's obviously fit from that spin in the all-weather where she bolted up, and it was actually a pretty decent race. She has a fitness advantage, as I said, over the likes of Old Guard, who has a penalty, and she obviously gets a filly's allowance, which should make her very difficult to beat.
And finally, up at that beautiful Durham course, Sedgefield, they've got the Durham National. Kills, what have you got for us up there?
Yeah, Durham National, 4.25.
Only seven runners, that's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. I mean, calling these races nationals gets a bit silly, doesn't it, sometimes, when you see what, well, see what you
they're
get.
They can't really call them the regional, can they?
Well, they are, aren't they? Basically. Yeah. But anyway, the bottom weight, Borwich, got beaten nose in this race last year. It's quite obviously been prepared for it again. Had a recent pipe opener at Perth, ran really well as well, finished second. That was over a trip far too short. He loved this. Only just got chinned last year. I think he will go very, very well. Should mention that earlier in the earlier there on the 3:20 Vision Day Flow, very, very good novice hurdler who is making his chase debut. Will obviously be long odds on, but worth watching out for.
Lovely stuff. Thank you, chaps. What are the weekend plans, Niall? Have they got you grafting away this weekend?
I'm working tomorrow, though I'm off Sunday, so I think I'll hit the town tomorrow night.
Excellent. What's your favourite Dublin night spot?
I think I mentioned it on this before, Copperface Shacks, it's called.
All right. Okay. Jeez. Have you been in there, DJ, ever?
Oh, many a time.
Have you?
I got the shift in Coppers.
Excellent. Well, have a good night, and I hope the hangover isn't too bad, Niall. DJ, what are your plans?
Leopardstown tomorrow, Bruce, and I am off on Sunday.
So what are you going to do?
Don't know. Might go for an L drive.
Oh, how did the marriage lesson go the other week, by the way?
Oh, it was actually, bizarrely, it was kind of in a funny way quite enjoyable. Like, it's horrific, but it's quite enjoyable to have a 70-year-old woman talk to you about your sex life. Is quite bizarre, really. Like, do you know what night when you might be tired, you just have to make time for each other? And
is this the one where you get asked to draw each other's bits? Is that the
do you?
The sort of thing?
No, it didn't go that far. No,
yeah, you used to
pick up any little tips. I didn't mean that.
Brilliant.
Okay, but you got away in time because I think that was taking place at the same time as a half decent race meeting on, wasn't it, DJ?
I've seen no race in that day at all, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Blimey. Okay, so what are you going to do? Take it easy Sunday?
Take it easy Sunday. Okay. Nice walk or something.
Nice walk. Jolly good. Kills, what are you going
to
do?
Well, it's either going to Ascot or drinking.
Go to Ascot, why wouldn't you?
I'm probably going to be drinking.
Well, you can do both. You can go to Ascot and drink.
It's a pain in the ass to get out from, isn't it?
Why? Just get a train.
We'll see.
Or get an Uber.
We'll see.
I bet you'll be there.
We'll see.
Yeah?
We'll see.
Sunday?
Uber is more likely for me, but
yeah.
Sunday, recovering from whatever I do on Saturday.
Okay. Drink responsibly, gamble responsibly, and do join us on Monday when Maddie will be back reviewing the weekend action and also looking ahead to Doncaster, where the race that used to be called the Racing Post Trophy and is now called the Vertem Futurity is the bill topper there. We've also got Newbury, and very excitingly for Jumps fans, there is action at Cheltenham. Until then, goodbye.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.